Welcome back with Nick Lowry as your host, Charles Barkley. So, Charles Barkley, buddy, are you enjoying this travel back and forth from the desert from Phoenix to do these NBA roundups every week, or is it beginning to take its toll?
Man, talking about sports is the easiest job in the world. I mean, I definitely can't complain about my job. I mean, I'm like living every man's fantasy. I get paid to talk about sports. You know, the only thing I wish that we could get to the playoffs, because obviously Dallas, Phoenix, San Antonio are the three best teams in the league, and I got no idea what's happening in the Eastern Conference because they're all pretty bad teams. That's the only thing that how this thing is going to end. I just hate waiting to go 6-7 months because Dallas and Phoenix and San Antonio are terrific. Utah's pretty good. But the East, man, is just atrocious. Unless Shaq can come back and dominate, I mean, which he could. Miami, that's the only chance they got. But they can still win the East because it's so bad.
You know, it's interesting that each of the leagues has one clearly dominant league, the AFC and the NFL. The National League is getting its rear end kicked by the American League and Major League Baseball, and then you got the West so much better than the East. Do you think there's any reason for that?
Well, I think because it's cyclical, for the simple fact, when you're really good, you don't get good draft picks. And then the teams that are bad, they get good draft picks, or they should get good draft picks. And every cycle, it's just switched from conference to conference. Because when I played, it was the East was a lot better than the West, other than the Lakers. And obviously now, with the Lakers, San Antonio, they were the best for a while, but teams that are bad should be getting better. I always tell people, if your team is bad and you're getting number one draft picks, if in 3 or 4 years you're not getting better, you don't know what the hell you're doing. I mean, think about it. Our job as general managers and coaches, we get to pick the best every year. If you can't pick the best every year, and we all know who the best is. We watch the games every year in college, and your team should be good. If your team is not getting better, you just don't know what the hell you're doing, or you got the wrong coach.
Charles, let's talk about that game last night. I was going to start talking about the Super Bowl, but since we're talking about the NBA, two streaks of over 15 games, it's more important how they do at the end, but this is a very different Suns team, and I'd like to first start with looking, in your view, at the Suns versus what looks inevitable, which is that clash with the Mavericks down the road.
Well, I still like the Mavericks because I think that's Phoenix's Achilles heel. Minnesota's not very good, and to give up 120 points to that team, first of all, they won't score 120 points the rest of the season. They will not. I'd go out on a limb and say they won't score 120 points for the rest of the season. And for Phoenix to give up that many points to that team, that's everybody always talks about, their defense and their rebounding. And, like, when Phoenix win 15 games in a row, that's impressive. To win 17 in a row, that's quite impressive. But when you look at the standing this morning, the Dallas Mavericks got the best record in the NBA. Everybody get all enamored with the streak, but if the playoffs started today, the Dallas Mavericks would be the number one seed in the West. So I still think Dallas is a team to beat, and I still think whoever has the best record between Dallas and Phoenix should get the MVP, whether it's Dirk Nowitzki or Steve Nash. And it's going to go down to the wire. But I still pick Dallas right now. I think they're better defensively, and I think they rebound the ball better.
Well, they play better defense. As Rick Bucher from ESPN Magazine said yesterday, Stackhouse has the killer instinct. Josh Howard has the killer instinct. But he doesn't think, if he had to pit Nash versus Nowitzki on who's going to hit the big shot at the end, when it's just coming down to one shot, he would pick Nash.
Well, I don't know why he would say that, because when they had a chance to go head-to-head last year in the playoffs, who made all the big shots at the game when Dirk went off for 50 in the deciding game? So I don't understand why he would say that. If they played last year and Dirk made every play to get Dallas to the finals, and Steve has never been to the finals, so I have no idea why he would say that.
Well, what about this then? In terms of which team is hungrier, my argument is you got to worry about the Mavericks for the simple reason that in some ways, very different in other ways, like the Colts who had their season stolen from them in some ways last year because of the distraction of the tragedy of Tony Dungy's son's suicide, that, you know, in that finals against Miami, it was stolen from them. They let it get away, but for the same reason, they've got to be that much more hungry now, that they can't let it get away this year.
I've been saying all season, Dallas has that, they have a confidence about them. I mean, and you know, like I say, obviously living in Phoenix, the press here is so biased. You know, they make a big deal out of the 15-game winning streak and the 17-game winning streak. But I tell them, I said, Dallas got the best record. And I think sometimes they lose focus of that. And Dallas are the defending Western Conference champions, and everything in the West is going to go through Dallas. And I think Phoenix got to really be careful because they got a really big stretch coming up. Well, I think they're probably going to lose 2 out of 3. They play the Spurs, Utah, and at Denver this week. And the telling stat about Phoenix is they're 0-2 against Dallas. They're 0-2 against San Antonio. And they're 0-1 against the Lakers and Utah. So the top four teams other than them in the West, they haven't beaten all season. No, everybody said they're 22-1 against the Eastern Conference. I said, first of all, who cares about the Eastern Conference? They're going to have to beat a good team in the West, and they're probably going to have to beat 2 or 3 good teams. And because of their defensive liabilities and living by the jump shot, you don't live by jump shots, you die by jump shots.
So you live by rebounding.
Huh?
You live by rebounding. Little defense.
You live by rebounding and defense. And I'm still taking the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay, but on the other hand, all of those losses virtually that you talked about were right at the beginning of the season when Boris Diaw was 25 pounds overweight. You know, they found themselves. So to me, if they can prove themselves, it'll be now when they are, you know, a full team, when they are in their rhythm against those same teams.
Well, first of all, you know, that's not really a good excuse because, trust me, if the Suns are counting on Boris Diaw, they're going to lose anyway. If you got 2-time MVP, All-Star Amar'e Stoudemire, All-Star Sean Marion. If their excuse is Boris Diaw was overweight, they're going to lose anyway. If they got 3 All-Stars, it's going to, you know, probably more than anybody. If they're going to get to the foul, it's going to all be on Amar'e Stoudemire's shoulders. But I heard that little scapegoat excuse that Boris Diaw was 25 pounds overweight. Trust me, with 2-time MVP and 2 All-Stars, if they were really counting on Boris Diaw, no disrespect, he's a good player, but if that's their excuse, Boris Diaw was overweight with 3 All-Stars and 2-time defending NBA champion, they're going to be sitting at home a lot earlier than the conference finals.
Charles, one of the things that still is not going to go away till I see that it's been taken care of is in the playoffs that kind of defense that's going to pound somebody that's trying to drive the paint. What would you do if you were the coach of the Suns to make sure that that's taken care of?
Well, they don't have defensive players, first and foremost. The only, Rajah Bell's a defender. Sean Marion is a defender. But they don't have defensive players. And that's what they got. All those players are great offensively, but they don't have defensive players. So there's really nothing they can do. They can't change their stripes at this stage. They're going to outscore people, outshoot people, but they don't have defensive players. So they might can make a run at playing defense. They just don't have defensive players.
Well, if there's one thing we can see now, which is unusual at this early part of a season, it's going to come down to going through Dallas at the end. When we come back, Charles, let's talk about some football. Let's talk about how you'd get your team ready for the Super Bowl. Let's talk about 2 black coaches, Lovie Smith and Tony Dungy, and what that means and your perspective on that and your leadership in talking about black athletes, black leadership in sports, and more on Head Games Radio, Sports Byline Network, and Sirius Channel 122. We'll be right back.